Trevor's in Finchley on a better line.
James, I agree with your initial comment that what happened yesterday was an absolute calamity. The fact that the aid organisation had given their coordinates to Israel and that they were still killed is indeed a tragedy. The larger issue is that should it affect the war? My own view is that it shouldn't. Israel's in a particular state, a situation where they're confronted by an enemy that to request demands its elimination. They don't want a two-state solution. They want a one-state solution.
Well, Netanyahu and much of his cabinet doesn't want a two-state solution either. So does that justify their elimination from the other side of this argument?
I think you have to look at the history of...
Just answer the question, if you would.
Sorry, what was that?
Just answer. Well, you must know what the question was because you were just about to dismiss it.
I heard repeat the question, James.
Okay, so Benjamin Netanyahu and many members of his cabinet are on the record as opposing a two-state solution now. Does that somehow justify calls for their elimination as well?
The two things don't run together. The fact that they want
to... Yes, they do. You told me that the justification for the elimination of Hamas, regardless of what the collateral damage to innocent civilians might be, was built upon their refusal to accept a two-state solution.
That's completely absurd.
So
that's
what you said.
So
I'm wondering whether Benjamin Netanyahu...
And
it's... I'm repeating your own words back to you.
That's not the reason there's a war. The war is not because they want a one-state solution.
No, but the need to eliminate Hamas is because they reject a two-state solution. You just told me that.
They've launched a genocidal war on Israel. That is the reason there is a war, not because they have a view that they have a one-to-one.
And you've just justified the elimination of everybody in Gaza in pursuit of Hamas.
How do you then convey the idea of wanting to demilitarize Hamas and remove them militarily?
Because you're here to justify the killing of civilians.
Who's justifying the killing of civilians?
Well,
Where did I say that, James? Why are you inventing words?
Because you said that you want what's happening now to continue, and tens of thousands of civilians are already dead. Ergo, to call for what is happening now to continue, you're calling for the continuing killing of innocent civilians.
No.
This isn't complicated, Trevor.
How many people have been killed in Gaza? 32,000?
That we know about.
The United Nations number of civilians killed to combatants generally is recorded as 9-1. That's a UN figure. The number of civilians, the people who have been killed in total, is about 32,000. If you accept
that we know
Israel's
about.
James, if you accept Israel's figures of, say, 13,000 to 14,000 combatants...
Why would I accept those figures?
0.2. That is well below...
Why would I accept
those
figures?
...the United Nations have as a figure.
Why would I accept those figures?
What, you'd rather accept Hamas's figures rather than United Nations figures?
You're talking about Israel's figures.
Hamas's figures are more credible than United Nations?
I think that Human Rights Watch has detailed the measures that the Palestinian Health Authority takes to record casualties and deaths with reference to mortuaries and hospitals, and explained that by publishing biographical details and names, they have a more reliable record than many other comparable conflict zones, whereas you think you should trust what the Israeli Defense Force tells us while refusing to allow foreign journalists into that territory. Just talk me through that.
Well, I'd accept the United Nations. Well, the fact that all these figures are going to have to be verified at some time later.
So why are you telling me to trust one and not... Why are you telling me to trust one and not another then, Trevor?
Because the United Nations... Well, the 32,000 figure comes from Hamas. You're quite prepared to...
It comes from the Palestinian Health Authority, which the Human Rights Watch have provided objective analysis of. Who provides objective analysis of what the Israeli Defense Force tells you?
Or Hamas. So if you're going to...
No, you can't keep doing this. I've told you what Human Rights Watch say about the measures that the Palestinian Health Authority deploy to list their death toll. Who provides objective external scrutiny of the numbers that the Israeli Defense Force provides?
Well, you either accept Israel...
You're going to have to answer the question at some point. Who provides objective international scrutiny of the numbers that you have come on the show to tell me I should trust?
I would like to suggest to you...
I'm going to ask you again until you answer the question, because we both know the answer. We both know the answer.
No, we don't know the answer. No, we don't, James.
Well, I'll tell you then, Trevor. Nobody.
No, you have... Well, either you accept or not accept that Israel's figures are as close as verifiable as possible. Either you can denounce them because it's Israel.
But I've just told you that Human Rights Watch are the body to whom I turn for guidance on this matter. Who's the body to whom you turn for guidance on whether the IDF's figures are reliable?
Well, United Nations Human Rights Watch is an organisation that has vilified Israel in the past.
Okay, so they're biased as well.
And so I would.
So then we come back to this question. Why won't they allow foreign correspondents into the territory?
I've no idea.
Let's think it through together, shall we? Because here we are arguing about the
facts. Why is that important to you? Why is that important to having all the having?
Well, because I believe in objective external scrutiny, and I'm intrigued as to why you think Israel rejects it at every turn.
I think there are more important issues at the moment.
Yeah, but you've rung in to talk about these issues, so you'll indulge me. You'll indulge me then, Trevor. Why would Israel refuse access to foreign journalists when people like you are so keen to have objective facts established by trustworthy outside sources?
Well, there are journalists there. There are Palestinian journalists there. Do you not
So we come back to the question. No, you've told me that I can't trust Palestinian figures.
There are journalists there.
Yes, why won't Israel allow foreign correspondents in? Why won't they allow Katya Adler in or Matt Fry? Why won't they allow Christiane Amanpour in? Why won't they allow people that have visited and reported on every other war zone in the world? And you're going to have to answer one of my questions.
My answer to is, have you posed that question to them? Have you posed that question? Has they obviously posed that question?
To
what's the answer they've given?
Pose that question to whom?
Have you posed the question to the Israeli authorities why they won't allow LBC, BBC, Sky, why they won't allow them? Have you posed that question?
I will when I get the opportunity to ask them, but right now I'm asking you.
Well, I think it's...
you're the answer to the question, Trevor. This is what you don't realise.
See,
you are the answer to the question, because if they allowed foreign correspondents in to provide independent verification, to provide international scrutiny, to report objectively, you wouldn't be able to ring this program and say the things that you've just said.
James, do you know what if there were journalists involved, what they would find is that arms in maternity wars,
you see?
Guns in pillowcases.
Yes, so then why wouldn't they? So you've done it. You've proved my point even more powerfully. So everything, all of the journalists would discover things that completely support your position. So you must be furious that they're not allowed in.
No, because I trust the Israeli military authorities to make judgments that are right.
They've just killed three British aid workers. The people you trust to make judgments have just killed three British aid workers. Before you go, you remember when they shot three hostages who were wearing their underpants?
The Israeli hostages.
Yeah, the ones waving the white flags, wearing their underpants, who'd escaped. How's that? What's the latest on that investigation? From the people that you trust.
James, we're in the middle of a war. The fact that every single awful incident, like yesterday...
Are you going to answer one question that I've asked you, Trevor?
I've no idea if they've... I'm sure...
But these are the people that you trust. I'm looking for the grounds. What's the latest on that investigation? Because you're trusting them to conduct this investigation. What's the latest on the shooting of three Israeli hostages by the Israeli Defense Force? Wearing their underpants and waving white flags. The hostages that we're told and you believe that countless civilians have to die to secure the release of.
Why do you put words in people's mouths? Where has anyone mentioned you're so polluted by your own and corrupted by your own language?
Here we go.
You put words into my mouth that I never said.
You said that the war has to continue.
The war absolutely continue because they're facing.
And how many civilians have died so far? So that means the killing of civilians has to continue. I can't explain your own thoughts to you, Trevor. You have to take responsibility at least for them.
And I'm very happy to do that.
Except you're not, are you? Because you don't want independent journalists in the region. You don't want anybody to believe the figures that are provided by anybody other than the Israeli Defense Force, who you claim you trust completely, while you can't even tell me the state of the investigation into their shooting of the hostages that you claim the release of is the justification for the entire conflict in Gaza in the first place.
Why does the UK government support Israel in its war aims? Why did your government support Israel in its war aims at the moment? Why do they do that, James?
Brilliant question.
What do you think, James? Give me your own independent view, objective view of why England, the British government, is supporting Israel in its aims of destroying Hamas. Why do you think that is?
Well, they're not, are they?
They're not supporting.
They have absolutely laid down a red line on Rafah. They've made it absolutely clear that they don't support war crimes. They've made it absolutely clear that they don't support a ground offensive. A ground offensive in Rafah. And they've made it absolutely clear that the unnecessary killing of civilians is something that can't be countenanced. Israel riding roughshod over all of that, absolutely. Again, you make a brilliant point. Benjamin Netanyahu has made the British government look both ridiculous and weak.
I think the British government has been strong.
Hang on, you're asking me what I thought.
Okay.
So I'm answering your question. Benjamin Netanyahu has made the British government look ridiculous and weak, just as he has made you look ridiculous and weak.
Well, and also profoundly wrong. But hang on, you just talked to me about pollution.
You got personal first, Trevor. I'm only meeting you on your own battlefield.
I haven't defamed your opinion or anything like that. But the British government...
So we'll return to what to me is the killer question, the most crucial question of all.
What is that?
And that is, why won't they let journalists in?
Perhaps it's too dangerous to have
the journalists make that decision.
journalists made that decision. No, but it's for the military authority to decide whether it's prudent, given their military operations.
And then 2 minutes ago, you were reminding me that there are Palestinian journalists there.
Yes, there are. There are.
So why won't they let foreign correspondents who are absolutely chomping at the bit to get into Gaza get into Gaza?
Well, I don't know.
You're not going to answer it. You know that. I know that.
No.
We know what the answer is. We know that it's because Israel cannot countenance what would actually be reported.
Hiding arms in maternity wards?
No, because they can't let journalists in, because if they did, you wouldn't be able to come on the radio and tell lies like that.
A lie of finding arms and finding munitions in a maternity ward, is that a lie?
Well, you tell me the journalists that have reported that.
No, you've just bold-faced said it was a lie. So obviously you have evidence.
You tell me the journalists that have reported that, or have you taken that from the same people that killed the three British aid workers yesterday?
I take that from the video evidence of the army who have gone in.
Say that again, more slowly. The video evidence that who?
The video evidence from the Israeli army, okay. From lady soldiers.
So there we are. And that's the answer to your question. They can't let journalists in, because then people like you wouldn't be able to take videos filmed by the actual soldiers killing the civilians as truth, would you?
Well, from your position, James, anything Israel says is obviously always going to be wrong.
Which is why you need independent journalists in there, Trevor. You see it now, finally.
So you're accepting Hamas's figure, which
no,
you're saying...
No, I'm accepting a Human Rights Watch's analysis of how the Palestinian Health Authority assembles its figures.
And you
are reminding everybody listening why journalists aren't allowed in by Israel. Because you wouldn't then be required to rely on footage filmed by the actual soldiers killing the actual civilians, Trevor. But here you are, live on the radio, saying it out loud.
James, you're very good at contorting, distorting.
I'm not, Trevor. I'm very good at holding up mirrors and repeating people's words back to them.
You're an excellent journalist, but you use it to create...
I'm very good at repeating people's words back to them. Without you, Trevor, I'm nothing.